Good afternoon. Fear. It's a normal and natural part of life. We all have fears, right? What kind of fears do we have? Fear of the future? Swine flu? Terrorism? The economy? Or do our fears come closer to home? Fear of our boss, fear of our family, what they think, fear for our family, what they may do, what may happen to them, their safety, our safety. Do we fear facing the judge when we are summoned for jury duty? Our fears affect our daily living. Even the simplest thing, for instance, fear of not being able to pay our bills, which motivates us to go to work every day. But fears, left unchecked, can consume our thoughts. They may begin to consume our every thought until it has overwhelmed our very being. It may even motivate us to do something very irrational, which we wouldn't normally do. These fears, the ones which we are personally susceptible to on an individual basis, are not healthy motivators and will inevitably take a toll on spiritual life. Now, following God's way can bring on many persecutions and terrifying scenarios, which the thought alone, the fear, may prevent us from doing what is right. Jesus gave a simple message to those who would ultimately face great persecution and or bodily harm for believing in or preaching the word of God. That message was this: don't fear. What's the point? You'll turn now to Matthew chapter 10. And in verse 28 through 31 of Matthew 10, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." And David in the Psalms, in Isaiah 43, we're reminded that we need not fear any obstacle which life throws at us. In Isaiah chapter 43, and starting in verse 1, "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you." God promises to be with us. He loves us, and his love is enough to extinguish our fears if we let it. Love is the opposite of fear. Now, a type of fear is worry or distress. The little things that add up. They fill up our days until we have no time or energy left to do what really matters. Worry is a thief. It wants to take and use up all of our brain power and what little time we find for ourselves to stop and reflect. It is better that we take those fleeting and priceless moments and use them to our own benefit and the betterment of those whom we affect around us. And we can read something to this effect in Matthew chapter 6. Again, the words of Christ. And starting in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, he will not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And now I'm going to get to the part that I alluded to earlier, where David spoke of this in the Psalms, and it's in chapter 118 in verse 5. If you'd like to turn there, starting in verse 5 of 118. "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." As we read before, love is the opposite of fear. Love is the only thing that we have to even stand a chance against the fears which seek to overwhelm and consume us. I'll read for you now in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." A sound mind, that's what we stand to gain. Fear and worry must be fed to survive, and so must love. We have a choice every day to feed our own fears or to courageously look past them and to do something really meaningful, whether it is one small act of selflessness or a monumental sacrifice for the well-being of ourselves or someone else. Love casts out fear. But perhaps our fears have an even tighter hold on us. Do we fear God's judgment upon us? Do we fear that God can't possibly forgive us? Do we fear that we cannot possibly forgive ourselves? There is no fear too seemingly real, too foreboding, or too great that God's love cannot overcome. In 1 John chapter 4, and in verse 17, we read, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." We cannot afford to carry around any fears which are either causing us to do things that we shouldn't do, or that prevent us from doing even the simplest things that we know we need to do. Fear is a burden. Fear is a torment. Let's work on overcoming those fears. We have no need to worry or fear. We have God's love and protection, which will guide us through even the most terrifying situations, if we let it.